Hi, this is Heidi Kwan from Echo with our second episode of the seasonal podcast on Eastertide. In our first episode, Pastor Brian and I talked about why liturgical seasons like Eastertide are important for us in our walk as Christians and how we prepare our hearts in anticipation for the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But if you're like me, your understanding of the Holy Spirit may sometimes feel opaque or difficult to grasp. You may know that you need Him and that He's integral in our walk with God, but sometimes we forget how or why. Rather, we don't quite comprehend what that looks like in practical and more tangible ways. So in this episode, Pastor Brian and I try to bring it down to earth, the why behind the need of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our daily lives, and how we can invite Him into our everyday. Our prayer is that you continue in your journey toward Christ-likeness, encouraged, empowered, and equipped, remembering that we have a helper in the Holy Spirit. It is He who guides and journeys alongside us. So thank you for taking the time to listen. We hope it helps you in your journey. Hi, PB.
Hey.
So as we briefly talked last episode, Eastertide is a season leading up to Pentecost.
Yes, I love that you never talk to me after that podcast. Just ignore me. I just want you guys to know she only talks to me when we have a mic in front of our face. That's like our friendship.
We're going to cut this out later.
No, we're not. Okay, go.
So Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit arrived.
Pentecost,
right?
Yes.
Where the holy early church was empowered to live out in greater measure Jesus' way.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit more about what that day meant for us as a church?
Yeah, as a church. I mean, look, listen, Jesus said it's better that He leaves. Remember? That's crazy. He ascends, and we know, and I share this in the lectures in Orthopraxis, He has a bunch of stuff He's doing. Scripture says that that He's doing as He's ascended, and now He's at the right hand of the Father, and in that kingdom dimension, He's doing all sorts of stuff. But He felt that it was better that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will be with us. Mm. Now, culturally for them, Pentecost is the 50 days after being delivered from Egypt. They celebrate the giving of the law to the Israelites, remember? Mm-hmm. And so it's really Pentecost in the book of Acts is really God's dream being fulfilled, Heidi. Mm-hmm. After being delivered, God brings him to Mount Sinai and He's trying to give him His heart, mm-hmm. His laws into the hearts of His people. But as you know the story, right, and we go over this in Orthopraxis, right? Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, it shows very clearly that God's people did not go up the mountain to be consumed by God. And we call this the consummation, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted to consume them and fill them. Mm-hmm. But it's very clear that they did not go up.
Yeah.
And instead, what happens?
He puts it on tablets of stone.
He puts it on tablets of stone. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, He was still faithful and loving to give His laws, mm-hmm. but it had to be written and inscribed on stone tablets mm-hmm. representing the stone-heartedness, the stubbornness of His people.
Yeah, but right? His intention was always to put it into our hearts.
Yes, instead. That's His heart mm-hmm. that He wanted to consummate. He wanted to seal the deal and that we and He are one, mm-hmm. right? And so He did not get it. And then in Ezekiel 36:26, I believe it is, that it says that in some day that our hearts of stone are going to turn into hearts of flesh. Mm. And that day was realized, that dream was realized on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Jesus dies, He redeems the world, He resurrects, He ascends, and He says the Holy Spirit's coming. Go wait for Him in the upper room. Mm-hmm. And on the day of Pentecost, on the day that they are celebrating, right? Mm-hmm. The original giving of the law, the Spirit of God comes and He gets His way. He finally consumes mm-hmm. this band of people.
Yeah.
And God's laws and His ways or His heart is put in them.
Yeah.
And now a new people of God are birthed.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. So what happened because of that?
Many things that happened. They're, mm-hmm. you know, filled with power. They, you know, they're gifts of the Spirit and all sorts of, they're speaking in tongues, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think one of the primary things that come out of being filled with the Holy Spirit is actually courage. Because you think about the first person that preached the gospel, and that's Peter, right? Peter rose to the occasion. He started proclaiming the gospel, right? And many were added, thousands were added to the church. If you think about it, Peter just denied Christ.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he was a, in a way, he abandoned Christ. He betrayed Christ. Mm-hmm. He cared more about his life, right? When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden he has the courage to stand and proclaim the gospel. So I really believe being filled with the Holy Spirit that day is not just about having a heart for God and wanting and loving God in his ways, but it's also the courage to live for God.
Amen.
And to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that you bring up Peter, because if you think about it, there must have been so much self-doubt, so much shame he have experienced.
Oh, yeah.
But with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he was actually empowered to look even beyond himself and break through that cycle of maybe even debilitating self-pity and to actually do what Jesus and God had created him to do.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I think being filled with God or the Holy Spirit, you become more about God instead of more about yourself.
Amen.
That's a powerful, I think, so that is probably one of the fruits of being filled with the Holy Spirit is you are about God.
Yeah.
You're no longer about yourself, self-pity or pride or anything. Mm-hmm. You start dying and Christ in you starts living.
Yeah. That's so freeing.
Yes.
So, I mean, you kind of talk a little bit about what the byproduct of having the Holy Spirit and it creates courage in you. Can you kind of paint us a picture of what that looks like? Because oftentimes I think when we think about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we think Shambhala time. We think it's sort of like this heavenly concept. But can you kind of bring it down to earth and kind of illustrate it a little bit more for us?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever spent time, Heidi, with somebody that's just like... maybe your grandparents or somebody that their pace of life is different. Mm. They have a calmer spirit. They're less anxious. And after having, you know, coffee or tea with them, you walk away and you find yourself more calm.
Yeah.
And you find that maybe life is not as crazy or as stressful as you think. Mm-hmm. I have this with all my mentors. When I get together, like, you know, Bishop Todd.
Mm-hmm.
When I get together with Bishop Todd, he has a way, his presence has a way of calming me so that my problems are put into perspective and they're not as big as I think they are. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. Mm. When you spend time with God, the Holy Spirit, you find yourself taking on his heartbeat, his cadence, his rhythm, and you end up producing what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the byproduct of hanging with the Holy Spirit is the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't know about you, but I need more of all of those.
Yes.
And so instead of trying to become those things, I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me with those things by spending time with Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as a Christian, you know, I would look through that list and say, like, oh, I need to be more gentle. I need to be more patient. I want to be more all of these things. And I find myself frustrated, you know, I'm like, peaceful as I want to be, you know, and Pastor TJ preached a really good word last Sunday about how it's not about behavior modification, because that's not what we're called to, right? Yeah. It's about inner transformation.
Yes.
And I think that's so much more freeing to think about it in that way. It's like you can't will fruit out of a tree. It's about creating that space and cultivating this garden, right? Of allowing God to water and God to provide the sunshine, but we have to actually place ourselves in that place, right?
Yeah, so spiritual disciplines and all these practices that we give in our church, they're not designed to transform you.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed to help you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit who transforms you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful also that when we hear things like God is into transformation and not behavior modification, we got to be careful, because sometimes we're bent towards not doing anything and letting God do something. So one of the ways we seek the Holy Spirit and His help is is by behavior, mm-hmm. is by disciplines. Mm. So think of it this way. Spiritual disciplines, Heidi, is a form of prayer.
Hmm.
It's not an act of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of longing and asking.
Hmm.
So every time you pray, every time you're hospitable, mm-hmm. every time you're generous, every yeah. time you act in Christ's likeness, it's your way of saying, I want to make room for you, Holy Spirit, to do something in me hmm. that I can't do much. It's like placing yourself before the surgeon,
yeah.
your spiritual discipline. So I don't want people to think that because we can't change ourselves, we shouldn't change ourselves.
Yeah.
So changing or disciplining is an act of seeking God.
Yes.
There's mm-hmm. no way to ask God to change us without physical engagement.
Yes.
It's not good enough to have, remember that whole, the three parts that mm-hmm. constitute us, the mind, body, and soul?
Mm-hmm.
You can't pray without the body.
Yeah.
You have to pray with the body, with the mind, and with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very different direction. You know, oftentimes we want these things, so we try to seek it out on ourselves mm-hmm. or on our own. And so I really like how you paint that picture of it is somewhat about behavior. It's about creating these disciplines mm-hmm. in your lives.
Yeah, in your lives.
In
yeah,
your
yeah.
lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Your multiple lives. But it's really about creating that space, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
it's not saying like I'm more righteous or I'm
yeah.
holier, but yeah. it's really, God, I really need you. I really can't do all these mm. things. I really can't muster sanctification.
Yes.
I really can't muscle through holiness.
Yeah, Heidi, what's beautiful about this is that even our acts of sanctification and righteousness, all of this is actually spirit driven.
Mm.
Before we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we did not even want to try
yeah.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So our acts of discipline, spiritual disciplines, are they originate from the Holy Spirit. Because
mm.
nothing good flows from us from the beginning because mm. we're broken sinners.
Yeah.
Right? So the fact that you even want to pray
mm-hmm.
comes from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because we kind of talk about that, can you give us more practical ways of how we can even create that space? What mm-hmm. does that even look like?
Well, I kind of liken it to a couple of things. So for instance, it's like setting up an appointment with your trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have to pick a day and a time to seek out your trainer,
mm.
right? So right now, recently, my trainer texted me going,
you haven't
been around. Where are you? It's like seeking me out,
uh-huh.
right? And it's kind of like the Holy Spirit. The Holy
yeah.
Spirit's like, where are you? And I'm giving all these excuses. I've been busy. I've been traveling. But the guy doesn't give me any slack. He's like, well, you need to be here,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And so one of the ways you seek the Holy Spirit is by making time to be under His presence,
mm.
under His guidance, under His training.
Mm-hmm.
So basically prayer, you get still before the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then after you get still, you soak in His presence,
mm.
okay? There's actually time, you have to set aside time to pray and to worship and to be very conscious of the Holy Spirit, and you're abiding, and you're talking, you're asking.
Mm.
And then I think the last thing you would do is you seek the Holy Spirit. You start asking for help.
Mm.
And there's something powerful in confession.
Yeah.
It's like, Holy Spirit, I'm here. I made time for you. Holy Spirit, I'm soaking in your presence by mm. worshiping Jesus, by becoming aware of my need for you.
Mm.
But Holy Spirit, at the end of the day, I want to ask you something. I need your help with X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
And in doing that, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us with His presence and His power.
Mm.
And this is how we put on God. We put on the Holy Spirit. And this is how we put off the things of the flesh,
yeah.
our addictions. Or another way of saying addictions is our sinfulness, or the way atheist comedian Russell Brand from England says is basically our addictions are, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says that our addictions are a way of distracting ourselves.
Yeah.
And so when we confess to the Holy Spirit our need of Him, we're saying we're no longer going to cope with life with our distracting ways.
Mm-hmm.
We're now going to face life with your power and your presence,
yeah.
because our distracting ways or addictions or our sins didn't work and hasn't worked. And so I'm going to put them off, as Paul says, and I'm going to put on Christ by spending time with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you bring up the Russell Brand addiction quote, because while we're not comparing debilitating or destructive addictions like alcoholism or substance abuse, I do think that there's wisdom in being able to realize our brokenness and our inability to fix ourselves on our own. One of the steps in the 12-step program is actually confession, right? Of admitting our powerlessness.
Yes.
It says it here.
Oh, that's good.
I admit that I am powerless over this area of my life, and I cannot on my own, with my present understanding, consistently manage this problem.
Yes.
And this is so much like confession,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because the Holy Spirit is basically our 24/7 AA meeting.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. It is the most powerful thing to be able to confess that you cannot manage yourself.
Yeah.
You cannot manage your walk with God. You cannot fix yourself. So imagine at your disposal 24/7, you have an AA meeting and the Holy Spirit's there, and you stand up before Him and you say, "Hi, I'm Brian Kim. I'm an addict," right?
Uh-huh.
"And here's what I'm struggling with." Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, the beautiful thing about our God is that He doesn't sit there and go, "Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Good luck."
Mm-hmm.
He then takes our confession, washes us clean again, and then empowers us to go further, to break free from our addictions or our distracting ways.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why Eastertide, this whole Pentecost season, is so important.
Mm. Yeah, and that kind of, that changes our image of God. It clarifies it, I think, because if you think about it in that way, we're confessing our powerlessness, and it's not this disappointment or frustration from God, but thank you for coming. This is, I can help you with this.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to do it on your own.
No.
And you don't have, I don't expect you to be a Christian and to become holy on
by
your
yourself.
Own.
Yeah. I have this saying, as you know, Heidi, I say it all the time, it takes God to love God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be filled with God to be able to love God the way He deserves.
Amen.
And so we need to make time. And this is, again, where spiritual disciplines come from.
Yeah.
You're making time for God to fill you. So that we can love Him back the way He deserves. And that's all that spiritual disciplines are, is getting rid of our flesh to make room for the things of the Spirit.
Yeah, I like that you brought that up too, because I have this quote here by Dallas Willard.
Ooh, Dallas. Yes.
It's kind of long, so bear with me.
I can do it.
"We know that we must, instead of just trying to obey, find a way to become the kind of person who does easily and routinely what Jesus said. Does it without having to think much about it, if at all, in the ordinary case. It is here that disciplines come to our rescue, always encompassed by grace. In engaging disciplines, we go to the root of the tree of our lives, the sources of behavior. We do the things that will transform our minds, our feelings, our will, and our embodied and social existence, even to the depths of our soul, to make the tree good and its fruit good. We cultivate and fertilize the tree. We don't try to squeeze fruit out of the ends of its branches. In doing this, we use tried and true methods of Christ's people, as well as any sensible means at our disposal, including, quote unquote, professional help. And in this way, we become, by divine grace, the kind of person who does the things Jesus said to do and avoids what He said not to do."
Dang. You know, we can just read Dallas Willard all
day. Let's just read him
and then,
this whole podcast.
And then there will be no need for... I mean, isn't he the one that said God is not opposed to effort? He's just opposed to merit.
Mm.
And so when people start talking about like, you know, we got to be careful that we're not doing, you know, more than being. I'm like, there's no way to become until you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? And so God is not opposed to that. Actually, the Jewish way of transformation is by doing, by changing the way we think and act. That's repentance. A lot of times we skew how we've been redeemed by saying, oh, you know, I'm saved by grace, therefore I shouldn't do anything. Actually, if you're saved by grace, you would want to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're truly saved by grace. You know,
yeah.
If you're interested in more of that, please listen to the James the James series on the Echo podcast. Thank you very much.
Oh, shameless plug there.
Shameless plug. If I had a book, I would have plugged the book too.
Okay, but, okay.
I just don't have a book yet.
So as we close this, can you share with us maybe a simple prayer that you often pray?
Well, actually, before we close, I want to ask you something.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all about resourcing and equipping our people.
That's right.
I think there's some things in the pipeline, right, that you're working on.
We might have some things in the pipeline.
All right, then share it, Carol Fran.
So one of the ways that we do want to resource our church,
okay,
because again, we don't want to just put this out there and say like, all right, good luck.
You know,
one of the things we're doing is we're, you and I actually are crafting these prayers for our church to help with the language. Because again, we find ourselves asking, well, how do we do this? And one of the ways we do that is by writing these prayers. And so as Pentecost is coming up, we have about 14 days of prayer to help us really go through the verses and scripture.
Yeah, it's 14 days of curated prayers to help us focus,
And it's talking about what the Holy Spirit really does and what the Bible says and promises the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we also have an Eastertide Kavanah coming up.
Ooh.
Yes. So it's a worship and prayer night. We're just going to create the space and the opportunity for us as a corporate body, as a body of Christ to come and just soak in the presence of God and pray and intercede for one another.
Yes.
And you can invite your friends. We're going to invite other churches as well. And Tim is going to be leading us during this time with worship. So
Tim is all right. He's cool.
And also,
I love that, Heidi, because, you know, many have told me about, you know, the 40 days of prayer for your spouse, that book we did during the Ephesians series. You know, we should always be praying for our spouse.
Yeah.
But these kind of curated prayers help us bring focus to our prayers.
Yeah.
And then what's beautiful is after you pray that, it kind of sparks your own prayers for your spouse and thereby bringing focus again. And so it is with these prayers that we're curating with the Holy Spirit, is it's really getting us to become aware of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then my prayer is that after they pray these short prayers, it will launch them into really sitting and soaking and seeking the Holy Spirit the rest of that 10 minutes, 30, 40 minutes that they're spending time with God.
Yeah.
It's just bringing focus to the third person of the Trinity.
Amen. And we'll also have Sync coming up. Can you talk a little bit more about what Sync is for a church?
Well, you know, Sync, the word Sync, it has to do with being in sync with one another, right? Being on the same page. And that's what Pentecost did. Pentecost brought the people of God in sync with God. And that's why we named it Sync. And that's why we do it around the season of Pentecost, right? And so our goal is that we will go away and wait on the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus told the church to go wait in the upper room. It's our way of saying you deserve a uninterrupted time where we are just seeking you and your ways, right? And then being filled together as a corporate body, thereby syncing us with you for the rest of the year, but also syncing us with each other, because one of the fruits of being filled with the Holy Spirit is unity, right? And then we need that unity, we need that power for the next season, which is the season of ordinary times. I love it. I love that it's called ordinary times. It's not even called extraordinary times, Heidi. The church calendar then launches us into a season of ordinary times, which is
the season where we start to give and to live out our gospel life.
Yeah. And isn't that so beautiful that it's timed right after Pentecost? Because we can't live out the normal Christian life, which is a life of power, forgiveness, you know, love, yeah. generosity.
It's like God knew us.
God knew that we needed these rhythms. And so he sets it up before so that we can seek God, be filled with God, and then the rest of the year we live for God until Advent. And then we celebrate again the arrival of our Lord. Yeah. And it's this beautiful cycle, the seasons. And it helps us focus on the things of God.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Brian.
Thank you, Heidi, for talking to me. will we have a conversation again in our next
Maybe
podcast?
We'll see.
Yeah, until then, I mean, in between, we can still talk. You know that,
no,
right?
No, we cannot.
Okay, yeah, fine. All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us in our conversation about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We hope that as you ruminate on what we've talked about here, that you don't walk away with a to-do list, but rather empowered to live in the dynamic relationship that God is inviting us into. It's about confessing our need for Him and creating opportunities to ask for the Holy Spirit in our everyday. We hope that this conversation provided language to experiences that we might encounter as Christ followers. As the Eastertide season comes to an end, may we all continue to find ourselves a well-worn spot in God's presence that shows our devotion to Him, a place near His heart, knowing that it is He who invites us, our Savior who covers us, and the Holy Spirit who guides us home. Until next time.